Well, thank you so much, Autumn. What a blessing to be back at James River. And, you know, you guys have heard me say this throughout the years every time we come here, that you guys are the most amazing church we minister at, and that's the absolute fact. We love coming to Huron. You guys are so hospitable and honoring to us, and we feel so blessed every time we come. It was September 24th, what was that, a couple of days ago, that we celebrated our 40th anniversary of when we met. We met on the campus of Bethel College in Arden Hills, suburb of St. Paul, and it's such a great story, and I think we shared it a few years ago when there was some kind of a school we were speaking at, or it was a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon or something. But it was the typical thing where I just said, "Hey, have I met you before?" You know, it's a great line, guys. Write that down. It's a great line just to say, "Hey, have we met before?" And she said, "I don't know." And then I knew there was something special about this girl. So that was 40 years ago, and we kind of knew each other for a few months, and then we didn't see each other. Well, we saw each other every day for about 6 weeks, and then we didn't see each other for about 3 months, and then we kind of got connected again after that, and I just asked her one night. I was just seeing her at her parents' house, and I just remember looking at her. It was late into the evening. I had to go soon, and I just looked at her, and I thought to myself, she's beautiful, she loves Jesus, and she loves me. It's like, what else do I need? I was 18 years old, and I just said, would you marry me? And she said, yes. I was like, okay, that was pretty easy. Wow, all right. I don't know what the next step is, but I guess we should get married then, but that's kind of the next thing after that. All right, you know, it's kind of fun when you get married really young because you don't have all this religious baggage and of how certain things should be. You're just kind of new to this whole thing, and so we got married about 7 months after that, and it has been absolute bliss the whole time, ever since. No, but I will say this, it's been worth it. Have we gone through hard times? Absolutely, we've gone through hard times. Man, oh man, oh man. What couple doesn't go through hard, difficult, trying times? And where you're just about ready to, you know, yeah, not be nice to each other. But Jesus is faithful, and it's been worth the 39 years that we have been together, and it's been worth it serving Jesus in a full-time sense as far as ministering cross-culturally around the world. Now, I know I had the ushers pass this out for the first service, but I forgot the second service. Did you all get our newsletter? No. Okay, I can see that hand. All right, so I need two people. Would you like to help pass these out to everybody? Would you like to do that? And maybe your sister, would you like to come on up too, shy sister? And you can help, and just like, you know, one per family or something like that. So go around and do that. This is just a special newsletter we made up just for our time in the States. It shares our testimony, how we met. And we called it Life-Changing Events, how we got saved, how we met, how we got involved in full-time cross-cultural missions. And then on the back side, we share why we're back in the States right now, because we are called to the nations. And honestly, to be very honest with you, we love the nations. We love every time we've been living in Germany the last 6 years, and every time we plan a trip around Europe, or we've been going to Africa several times in the last couple of years, every time we plan a trip, for me to plan a trip into another nation to speak at a Youth with a Mission base or a Bible school or partner with a church and do street evangelism, to me it's like opening up a Christmas present. And I love gifts. It's not my primary love language, but I'll take it. I'll take that love language too, okay? And so every time I'm planning a trip, planning an itinerary, where we're flying in and out of, it's like, oh, Kathy, we're flying into this country. We get to fly through Moscow on this trip. This is really fun. Or we get to fly through Nairobi or Addis Ababa. And so it's like a Christmas present to me when we travel around the nations, and we love the nations. And to be honest with you, it's always has been, thank you, ladies, it's always been a little bit of a letdown for us when we come back to the States, because up until a year and a half ago, I would say we weren't seeing the hunger in the States that we were seeing around the world. But what happened a year and a half ago? Yeah, right. Okay, we all know what happened a year and a half ago, and what the devil has intended for evil by sowing fear into the lives of people, Christians and non-Christians, fear, anxiety, turmoil, tension. God is turning it around for good to awaken his church. I believe in a way it's been a separation of the sheep and the goats. what's been going on in the church. Those who are really following the Lord are pressing in all the more into what God has for the body of Christ. But people in America are more sensitive and hungry and open to Jesus like we've never seen before. So when we arrived back in the States in January for the birth of our latest grandchild, we got a second grandson. Hallelujah. After six granddaughters, and we have six amazing granddaughters. We love them. Then God gave us our grandson. We were in Venezuela about 7 years ago, and this guy came up to me. I was sharing how we didn't have any grandsons yet. And this guy came up to me and he says, "The Lord says the grandson is on the way." I said, "Hallelujah." So I'm calling my daughters and my daughter-in-law saying, "Is anyone pregnant right now? Because the grandson is on the way." Well, it took 5 years for that grandson to get on the way. And so we did have our grandson, Sean Rock, was born in Germany almost 2 years ago. He's just an awesome little man of God. I love this little kid. Sean Rock is his middle name. And then legend Paul, our daughter Joy, who is, let's see, I'm 58, so Joy's almost 38. We're 20 years apart. she has a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old daughter, and then she had legend Paul. Legend Paul was born at Christmas, this last Christmas, and he is just a little linebacker. This kid is the most solid, widest-shouldered, heavy. This kid is so solidly built, it is amazing. So we're blessed with two grandsons now, along with our six granddaughters. And while we were in the States in January, we thought, well, let's stay another month or so, and let's minister in some churches and see what God's doing in America. And it was in March, shortly after we were here, the Lord made it very clear. I don't know about you guys, but Kathy and I get a lot of prophetic insight and revelation while we're driving. So we spend a lot of time traveling, and so when we're driving, wherever we are around the world or flying, we're worshiping, praying, we're together, we're talking about vision. The Lord begins to drop things in our heart when that happens. All right. And so we're driving in March. I think we were around Missouri at that time, and the Lord said very clearly, contend for revival in America for a season. I think Kathy was more excited than I was, because I was thinking, well, if we're in America for a while, then that means we're not going to the nations, and nations represent Christmas presents to me, and I love presents, but we're to be in America. And so we have seen, so we said, Lord, what do we do about Germany? And the Lord said, go back for the month of May, bring closure to your community in Germany there, come back to America, get a trailer, and travel the country. So we picked up a trailer about 6 weeks ago in Missouri. That is a whole testimony in and of itself, how we even got a trailer during the whole mess up with the supply chain and this type of small trailer that we needed. And then we were saying, Lord, we need a bigger vehicle to pull this 17-foot trailer because we're supposed to go to the West Coast. How many of you know we have a West Coast in America? All right. You know about California, Oregon, Washington? Yeah. Okay. And it's called the Left Coast, the West Coast, that we're supposed to go there and contend for revival. And we said, Lord, we need a bigger vehicle if we're supposed to get over the Rocky Mountains. And you need to supply it by October 3rd. Because October 3rd is when we're ministering in Nebraska, and we need to decide if we go to Washington State or if we go down to Arizona. And to get to Washington State, you have to go over the mountains. So last Sunday, we were ministering at a church in northern Minnesota, 10 people. When there's revival, they have about 12 or 13, but normally about 10 people go to this church. We've known these people for over 30 years. They're amazing folks, and there was a couple at this church that afterwards said, God told us to give you our pickup truck. We have this huge monster truck, Ford Ranger 150 XLT, four-door, you can live in it kind of a truck. And they said, we'll trade it for your Ford Ranger. We had a Ford Ranger, a 2000 old faithful, and we traded trucks. I ran and got the title and traded with them and signed it before they could change their minds. And we definitely got the better end of the deal. My goodness, when you see our Ford Ranger, which God provided, we were very thankful for it, but it couldn't pull a trailer over the Rocky Mountains. And you can see our truck out the front door there, a 2012 that someone pretty much gave us last Sunday. I'm still driving, and I drive it, and I told Kathy, I said, oh, I feel like such a king's kid right now, you know. You really feel like you're part of the royal family of God when you're driving a, a monster truck. So it is fun. To me, it's a monster truck. Anyways, it's a blessing. I just have to make note of this song, and then I'll buzz through this really awesome message. But this song that we were singing about, the air gets clearer, the sky, sun gets brighter. I'm like, that is so true. Did you notice that when you gave your life to Jesus, that's what happens? It's like everything looks different. You know, when we were in Missouri in March, we were speaking in Fairplay at the Assembly God Harvest Fairplay. I love Lyle and Evelyn Shawless. Oh man, they're a trip. That's a church in revival. Amazing things are happening there in a little tiny, formerly drug infested town of Fairplay, Missouri. 250 people loaded with crack, loaded with whatever the other stuff is called. Meth, that's the big thing, meth in southwest Missouri. And the town has been completely, radically transformed by a church now that has probably 300 members in a town of 250 people. And why did I bring this up? Oh, because our truck was having trouble. So we needed some work done on the truck. And so we were told that the truck would be ready by Sunday right after church. So right after church, we have a little potluck thing, have fun. We drive over to get the truck. And this 90-year-old mechanic, or not 90-year-old, 90-pound mechanic that's working on trying to get the ball joints off of the truck so he can put on new ball joints, and then he put on the wrong ball joints, and he's just working away, literally 90 pounds working on our truck. And I'm thinking, he said it would be ready when church was done, and now he said it was going to be ready a few days ago. And I'm kind of sitting there frustrated, and it's hot, and Lord, what's going on here? And this guy's working on the truck, and he's like, and he didn't have any teeth, you know, and he's smoking a cigarette. And he said, it'll be ready, you know, it'll be ready in an hour. An hour went by, it wasn't ready, he wasn't any further along, and he's struggling away. Another hour went by, and as I'm getting really frustrated because we were supposed to be in Oklahoma that night, I said, Lord, what's going on? We need our truck, you know. Then a motorcycle gang pulls up, drops off this one lady with a bunch of leather on. She gets out for her motorcycle, and we go over and start talking to her. Find out Kathy leads her to the Lord. She tells us her story. I've been with a bunch of boyfriends. I was just kicked out. I have no place to go, blah, blah, blah. Kathy said, you've got a demon. Do you know that? And she said, yeah, I think she was kind of aware of it. She said, we need to pray about the spirit of lust. She said, you got a spirit of lust. She goes, yes, I do. And she said, do you want to get free from that? Yes. Kathy walked her through deliverance, and she literally said this. Everything's greener. The sky is bluer. The trees are greener. This is amazing. I didn't realize this is what I was experiencing. And that's what the devil does when he binds people up. And when Jesus comes in and he sets people free. Hallelujah. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess it was worth it. The truck's not ready yet. This lady just got saved, just got set free from a demon. All right. And she cast it out herself. She just, you know, Kathy walked her through deliverance. Yes. I repent of embracing this. I renounce the permission I've given to this spirit to harass me. And I kick it out of my life in the name of Jesus. And she was free. I mean, it's not rocket science. Okay, so that made it kind of worth the fact that we had to wait for our ball joints to get fixed on our truck, which wasn't any closer to being fixed. So we're still waiting around there. And then this guy pulls up in this really nice looking truck. And I have to tell myself, just calm down. Don't covet the guy's truck, you know. He pulls up. He's got tattoos all over, coming up and around his neck, everywhere. I'm getting carried away. The short story is this. He had just gotten out of prison recently. In prison, he told me he had gotten saved. He had a long way to go. But he had just gotten saved. He had been a Nordic high priest, whatever that is. A Nordic high priest, some paganism religion thing. He had gotten saved in prison recently, got out of jail. His daughter ran away from home 3 days earlier, found out she was up in Warsaw, Missouri. He had just driven up to get her, was coming down, felt like he should stop by this mechanic shop for a few minutes. Stops by the mechanic shop, and his 14-year-old daughter, Kathy, connects with her, leads her to the Lord. I connect with the dad, pray with the dad, and have an amazing time. But this girl gets saved, you know. So people are ripe wherever we go. And, you know, when you're in one of those situations like me, I tend to be a very impatient person. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. I don't want to be. And so I'm a work in progress when it comes to that. But because I tend to be kind of hyperactive, sorry, Lord, I tend to be hyper when I grew up, and I tend to get distracted really easily too. And when that I have to be really patient and ask the Lord, what are you doing in this situation right now? Because I tend to want to jump from this box to this box to this box to this box. And the Lord is saying, hold on, I had something back here. Just back up a little bit. So the Lord is teaching me that when I'm talking with somebody one-on-one, and I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do as soon as I say goodbye to this person, that the Lord is telling me, Dan, and this is just something I got in the last month from the Lord. He's saying, Dan, you need to seize this moment and say, God, what are you doing in this moment with this person, and quit running ahead to the rest of your day mentally and stick with what am I doing with this person right now? So I don't know if that helps anybody else here, but that's something that the Lord has really been bringing breakthrough in my life. So, wow, what a roller coaster year and a half we have had, huh? How many have had fun the last year and a half?
Would you come up and test me?
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. I love it. I love it. And it did take me probably about 5 weeks. The first 5 weeks of shutdown when we were living in Germany, and I found out that, oh, this meeting was canceled. Oh, we couldn't take that trip. As an extrovert, sanguine, hyperactive young man that I am, it was very frustrating for me. Very, very frustrating, especially at the beginning, March, April, May of last year. And then I began to see what God was doing was really tenderizing Europeans who tend to be kind of tough on the exterior, at least. And you've got countries like the Czech Republic, which is considered probably the least reached country in Europe right now, a country that, you know, birthed John Huss, the reformer John Huss, in the 1300s and experienced amazing revival with the Moravians. And now it's probably the least reached country in all of Europe right now. So Europe is in a tough place, but then Corona came, or the fear came associated with Corona, and Jesus is pouring out his spirit in Europe, and God is moving in such a tremendous way, and people are sensitive and hungry for the gospel like they haven't been for generations, maybe since the Reformation 500 years ago. So Christians are standing in the gap in Germany and in Europe. Things are excited, and that's why I'm excited about the vision of James River Church, your vision to take the gospel to unreached people around the world. That is powerful, because I will tell you that most churches in America don't have a vision that goes beyond their front door, all right? And so you're doing what God has called you to do. To seize the nations, to pastor Jeff and Autumn. We brag on this couple because they don't have a vision just for pastoring this little 3,000 square foot building. Their vision is to pastor not only Huron, but to pastor the state. They have an apostolic anointing on their lives. And so you guys are so blessed to have them as your pastors. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3 of Isaiah chapter 60. This is speaking to the days that we are living in right now. I know when I was a new believer and I began to read the Bible, I thought, wow, this is for today. God's speaking to me right now. This is not just a 2 and 3,000-year-old book. This book was written for us today in the 21st century. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness will cover the earth, and total darkness the peoples, but the Lord will shine over you, and his glory will appear over you." Sounds like what we're living in. If you're over 20 years old, you have some perspective, or even 15, perspective of how things were even 10 years ago in our nation. And if you just stop and evaluate where our country and certainly Western civilization, I'm speaking North America, Europe, where the Western civilization has gone in the last 10 years, and this crazy, mad rush to embrace every form of evil, we have, in the last 10 years, 5 years, now this rush in the last couple of years to say, oh no, this evil is good. And if you say that that evil is still evil, well, then you're a hater. You're an evil person. All right. So we have this rush and we have world leaders and media elites and famous musicians. You have everybody trying to rush and stumble over each other to outprove each other on how much evil we can embrace. It is absolutely crazy what's going on the earth. And so it's this darkness that is covering the earth, total darkness, it says in verse 2, or another version says gross darkness that covers the people. And that's what we're seeing in America right now. But then it says, but the Lord will rise over you and his glory will appear over you and nations will come to your light. Those nations you mentioned earlier, those nations are coming to the light of the gospel. And when the Holy Spirit is living within you, it's the glory of God that rests on you. It's almost like seeing a married couple that's in love with each other. Like this couple back here, I assume you're married, right? This couple, man with the white beard, okay. He's got his arm around her. You know, I look out, I can see, okay, what's going on with the couples around here? You know, you see an older couple that still love each other, that still hold hands when they're walking down the street. They're not ashamed of expressing and displaying affection between each other. That gets people's attention. People make note of that. All right? And it's the same thing with your relationship with Jesus. If you are not ashamed of Jesus and you are lovesick for him and pursuing him and spending time with him daily, people out there recognize that there is something different about you. And they are, and that's called light. All right? The light of Jesus is resting on you, emanating from you, and people are attracted to that light. And so we had that when we were in Pier yesterday, out on the street, led two ladies to Jesus in Pier. It was as easy as just fruit falling off a tree. We arrived in Huron last night, ran over to Walmart to get a few things, and Kathy walks in, the very first lady with the mask on, you know, giving out masks to whoever wants them. Kathy starts talking to her, ends up praying with her. We're shopping around the store. She calls me over. She said, Dan, this lady needs prayer over here. Another Walmart worker. She's already crying. Kathy's got her in tears already at that point. And then, this lady's crying named Barb. And so, Kathy, we need to pray for Barb. And Barb kept saying, I needed this. Thank you so much. I really needed this. Thank you. Huron is ripe. People are ripe for the gospel, and they are looking for light, points of light in a very dark culture. You carry the light of the gospel. This is our time. There's not going to be another one. This is our time to shine brightly for Jesus and to get involved with the people around us and share the gospel with them. So we rejoice. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 35. Can I say something real quick? Yeah, please
interrupt
do.
You. I'm so sorry. Yeah. So I was just thinking about, should I share this or not? But it's just exactly what you're saying here on is right. So during worship, second service here, I was just there and I kept seeing this picture of a hallway in an apartment complex. And I just had this thought like, I need to leave service right now because I knew where the apartment complex was. I've been there before, but it's been a long time. And I saw myself like in the middle of the hallway, just talking with somebody there. So I went over there just right now and I just got back. Anyway, I just got to pray with three people. One young man got to like totally share the gospel with him. He's like, yes, I want to follow Jesus. So we prayed with him to give his life to Christ. Anyway, and I just came back. Like that just happened. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
See, God has these kinds of amazing adventures for us if we're just willing to say yes. Yes, and it's the step of saying, yes, Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go. And then when he actually tells you to do something in what would seem to be a very inconvenient time for leaders of a church to leave the middle of their own church service, to go to an apartment building and witness to three people, all right? But that's how, man, I absolutely love that. Thanks, Jeff. That is absolutely how sensitive the Holy Spirit wants us to be, to listen, and when he tells us to do something in what we would perceive to be the most inopportune time, to the Holy Ghost, it is the most opportune time. So we're going to talk about kairos, about this Greek word kairos, but first of all, I just want to read John chapter 4, verse 35. John 4, verse 35, Jesus says, "Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." So Jesus is comparing the people that are all around you right now in 2021 as being a harvest that is ready to be brought in. All right, now we live in a very agricultural culture here in South Dakota. We know what it looks like when the wheat fields are ready, the wheat, oats, soybeans, harvesters come in. It's like, especially in ag towns, maybe towns more like Midland or something like that, but towns like that, when the harvesters start coming in, that means the harvest is coming. It's going to be brought in before hail can come and damage it, or before the fruit gets so ripe that it drops, so heavy that it drops. It has to be brought in. And there is a season and a time for that that it has to be responded to. If a farmer waits a week too long for the harvest, he can lose his entire crop. He's waiting for the harvesters to come. And we are the harvesters for God's harvest field. Jesus used a word called kairos. Now, this word kairos is a Greek word. It's translated, unfortunately, in our English Bibles, it's just translated as time. There are many Greek words that all mean time, but this one particular word, kairos, means much more than just the English word T-I-M-E. The word kairos means an opportune or seasonable time, a special season of harvest, implying an overdue time that will be cut short. It is a time when there is an open heaven followed by a short but significant outpouring of the Holy Spirit, resulting in the awakening of Christians and non-Christians to the presence of God and a massive harvest. That's the word kairos, and Jesus uses this word in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, when he says, "The time has come. The kairos has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." In other words, Jesus was saying this, the opportune time, the open door of opportunity. And you know, especially if you've done any sort of investing, that when you have an open door of opportunity in an investment sense, you usually need to respond. Because if you wait too long, you'll miss the return on that investment. Okay, so Jesus is saying to us today, to JRC, he says, now is the time. Today is the day. Respond, because the kingdom of God is near. In other words, that open door of opportunity won't always be there. And it's like when you're, have you ever witnessed to somebody and you feel like the Lord's saying, man, this person's ready. Go talk to them about Jesus. You talk to them about the Lord and they're like, no, man, I'm not ready. No, I'm not ready. And you're like, man, I really felt like God was saying this person was ready. You know, that's when you press in a little bit, all right? Now, in our culture, and I said in the first service, I was talking to a pastor recently, a few weeks ago, who said, you know, we just don't want to be pushy with people. And I understand where he's coming from with that. Yeah, we don't want to be pushy in a carnal way, like, yeah, come on, and being, you know, being rude and mean and all of that stuff. But you want the love of Jesus to flow through you and the anointing of God to be on you, and then you press a little bit. Hey, man, he's calling you today. You need to respond. It's okay to take it a little bit further, all right? I heard this story several years ago of one Christian. He was a famous Christian singer, Larry Norman, father of Christian music, they say, modern Christian music, was witnessing to Randy Stonehill. Randy Stonehill, he took him in. Randy Stonehill needed a place to stay. Another famous singer back in my day, a long time ago. He takes him in. He's witnessing to Randy Stonehill. Randy's 17 years old, shares the gospel with him. He says, hey, you need to get saved. Do you want to pray right now? Randy said, no, man, I'm not ready. Larry Norman said, what about now? Are you ready now? And Randy said, no, man, I told you, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to give my life to Jesus. I got some living to do, you know. Okay. What about now? Are you ready right now? Ready now? And he asked him about 4 or 5 times. And after about the 5th time, Randy said, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to get saved right now. So, and I love that because it just shows that it's okay to just move in a little bit. All right. What Kathy and I try to do when we're sharing the gospel with people is we try to watch the body language, which cannot always be helpful, but we try to watch, like the lady I was witnessing to on the street yesterday, April and Pierre, tears are dropping onto the track that she's reading. Okay, she's ready. She's ready, all right? Holy Spirit said she's ready. He told me, go talk to her. She's ready. But there are other times that I'm sharing the gospel with somebody, and there's no body language that gives me any indication other than they want to run away from me right now as soon as possible. That's when I listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit might say, that's enough. Or he might say, stay with this. Don't go by what you see on the outside. So press in a little bit further because God's doing a work on the inside of this person. So press in. This is a Kairos time that we are in America, and it won't always be here. It is right now, and we need to seize the opportunity for the nations where you want to plant a church and with this unreached people group. We have to seize it now. You can't say, well, yeah, God's moving in America, but I'm just going to, you know, I got to wait till I retire first. I'm really busy with my job, and as soon as I retire, then I'll give myself more fully to the kingdom of God. You're going to miss the Kairos if that's your attitude. Or if you say, yeah, well, right now we're in the midst of this transaction. We're doing this with our house. We're doing whatever excuse you want to throw out there. And as soon as that thing is out of the way, then I promise, Lord, I'll step into the Kairos. The Kairos will be gone by then. Because the thing is if you want to hear the voice of God, the condition to hearing the voice of God is that we respond in obedience. And if he says something for you to do and you obey, then you tenderize your heart. You talked about this earlier service. You tenderize your heart, and he's more willing to keep whispering things to you and give you direction, to speak to you. Prophetic things. Things you'll need about your marriage, about insight, about decisions in the future, whatever. He'll speak to you. But if you say, yes, I want God to speak to me, why isn't he speaking to me? Maybe he's not speaking to you because you have a track record of disobedience. And if you've got a track record of disobedience, then your heart becomes callous towards hearing the voice of the Lord. If that's you, and it has been me, it's probably been all of us at some point, we need to say, Lord, forgive me. I have disobeyed you, and I have missed Kairos opportunities. Please forgive me. I want to be obedient. Can we just start afresh right now? All right, and he'll do that. He's faithful. But then when he speaks to you about leaving the middle of a service to go witness to somebody on the third floor of whatever, you better be obedient then when he tells you to do something. All right? So obedience gives great joy to the Lord. Kairos is the word that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he says, in the day of my favor I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Kairos is also used in the book of Revelation, which makes sense to me. It's used the most. This word, this Greek word kairos, is used more than in any other book in the New Testament. It's used in the book of Revelation about the second coming of Jesus. In chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed is the one who reads the words of the prophecy of this book, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time, the special season of harvest that will be cut short, is near. It's the last words of Jesus in Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, when he says, behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And then an angel steps in and says this to Paul in verse 10, or to John in verse 10. And the angel says, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, the book of Revelation, because the time, the Kairos time is near. When people say, oh, but Jesus, you know, he said 2,000 years ago he was coming. 2,000 a year is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord. So really the Lord's only been gone for about 2 days. In kingdom heaven realm, about 2 days. So his return is absolutely imminent. We need to respond to what God is doing around the world. The second point I want to bring to your attention is that many Christians will miss Kairos, this open window where God opens a window over an area and we say, oh yeah, wow, this is great. God's moving in here in an amazing way. Yes. Seize it. Take advantage of it now because there won't always be that open heavenly window over the area. When revival is here, and we believe we're seeing it in America right now. People are responding to the gospel probably not since the Jesus movement of the late 60s, early 70s, where there was a real sensitivity and a lot of people coming to Christ at that time. Probably the last time before that would have been around 1950, you know, in the charismatic renewal and stuff following that. This is a Kairos time for America, and America is in the balance. The Lord told us the reason he's called us here now is because America could go either way. And if you care at all about your kids, your grandkids, and not just think, well, I'm going to be out of here in 10 years. I'm already 75 or 80 or whatever. I'll be gone and, you know, let the other generations deal with the crisis that's going to hit the country. I'll tell you, that is a selfish response. We need to get in on what God is doing and bring in the harvest now in Huron and all across America. Many Christians will miss Kairos. I want to share this story with you and then we'll close. Kublai Khan. Kublai Khan was the Mongol leader in the 13th century. So 800 years ago, he was this ruler that ruled much of Asia from the Korean subcontinent or the Korean peninsula all the way to Eastern Europe. Can you imagine? That was a massive empire. We don't hear about him much in the history books. We certainly don't read this next part in the history books. And that is that Marco Polo, the famous explorer, came to Kublai Khan. He was a Christian, and he shared the gospel with Kublai Khan. And this was Kublai Khan's response. This was in the year 1266 AD. He said, Khan said this, "Send me 100 skilled men in your religion, and so I will be baptized, and then all of my barons and great men, and then all of their subjects, and so that there will be more Christians here in my empire than there are in your parts." That's a pretty bold statement, and we wonder, how can, just because a leader gets saved, how can millions of followers or citizens under the leader get saved? Because that doesn't register with our Western mindset, all right? But the Eastern culture is very, very simple. When there is a leader of a tribe or a community that comes to Christ, the whole community will generally say, it's good for our patriarch, it's good for me, it's good for our king, it's good for me. And we saw this when we were in the country of Georgia, which is next to Turkey and between Turkey and Russia. We were there a couple of years ago. Georgia was the fourth country, I think in the year 300 or 400, Georgia was the fourth country to come to Christ as a nation. Well, how can a whole country come to Christ? The king, who had been a pagan, obviously had been injured on a hunting trip. He became blind from this head injury. God sends an 18-year-old girl, I think she was from Israel, what the story is. She came, this 18-year-old girl, God tells her to come to the Caucasus area, which is where Georgia is and Armenia, Azerbaijan. She ministers to the queen gets saved. The king comes back from his hunting trip blind. She prays for the king, the king's sight is restored, gets saved. The people hear about it. The king makes a proclamation about Jesus Christ, and the entire population of Georgia comes to this river where the castle is, and we were there. We did a video there. And the entire population of tens of thousands of people gets saved and baptized. The nation comes to Christ because the king came to Christ. And the mindset is, if it's good enough for him, it's certainly good enough for us. We want to follow Jesus as well. That's how much of the Eastern culture is today. So for whatever reason, these missionaries didn't come to Kublai Khan. He said, send me 100 missionaries, and there'll be more Christians in my area of the world than in your area of the world. I don't know what happened, but I would tend to think that Marco Polo probably came back to Rome, all right? And he told maybe the Pope and a bunch of cardinals, he said, we have this amazing opportunity, this Kairos opportunity going on over in the East, and we just need 100 missionaries to go there and share the gospel. For whatever reason they didn't do it, I tend to think it was a religious spirit that rose up and said, wait a minute, if there'll be more believers over there, that means the seat of Christianity, the church, will go to Beijing, wherever, over there, and we'll lose our place of influence and authority. No, we're not going to send those missionaries because we want to be the seat of power and influence for the church at that time. But whatever the reason was, it was probably the greatest missed opportunity for the church in 2,000 years. Because Khan, after seeing that the missionaries weren't sent, eventually went to the Tibetan Buddhists because people are hungry and they'll go somewhere. They'll even embrace a lie because they're so hungry. He went to the Tibetan Buddhists, and now there's 1 billion Buddhists in that part of the world. However, I would say that there is a massive move of God going on in China and India and all across Southeast Asia right now. So God is regaining that ground again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right, Kathy? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're shocked by this story, and we should be, but how many times do we actually miss Kairos moments for our own lives when God says, talk to this person, and we're too nervous about it. We're afraid. We're intimidated. It's a kid at school that, if I do that, then word will get around, and they'll find out I'm a Jesus freak, and I don't want them to know. And we compromise ourselves out of seizing a Kairos moment for someone. I'll share with you a Kairos moment I missed, and I regret it to this day. Kathy and I had just met. I think we were engaged at this time, so this is almost 40 years ago. I went to a Petra concert in St. Paul with my brother Aaron, my younger brother Aaron. So I was probably 18 at the time, and Aaron was 13. Petra, which is a very evangelistic band, at the end of the concert, they share the gospel. Man, it was like conviction was upon the crowd. I'm in the front row with my brother Aaron. I'm 18, he's 13. I look at him, and you can see the conviction of the Holy Spirit all over him. And the band is saying, hey, if you want Jesus, come forward. We're going to pray with you. We've got a room over here. We're going to pray with you, give you a Bible, help you, blah, 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 blah. And I looked at my brother Aaron. I saw the conviction of the Holy Spirit on him. But I was thinking, we're from a Lutheran family. My dad's a Lutheran pastor. If I do this, what would my parents think? Maybe, Aaron can just do this with God, and I don't need to press in. I don't need to help him out here in any way. So I didn't do anything with my brother Aaron. What I should have done was, hey, Aaron, you want to go forward and accept Jesus? I'll walk up with you. I know he would have. And to this day, he's not a believer yet. We met with him a week ago and had a great time ministering to him and praying, but I'm still praying for my 53-year-old brother Aaron, and I'm 58. That was a missed opportunity for me. And I don't want you to experience those. And I know you have, but we don't need to experience them anymore. Let's just say, God, forgive us for the ones we've missed. Lord, if there are ones that we can go back and make right, show us how we can go back and write a letter or go travel to that person's house and minister and reap the harvest there. But God, I don't want to disobey you anymore. I want to be sensitive to your voice. Help me, Lord, to not miss any Kairos opportunities. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 54 to 56, he said, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present Kairos? If you want to get in on Kairos, on God's open season of opportunity, it won't always be there. In fact, let me just read that description of Kairos, an opportune or seasonable time, a special season of harvest, implying an overdue time that will be short. It is a time when there is an open heaven followed by a short but significant outpouring of the Holy Spirit, resulting in the awakening of the church and non-Christians alike to the presence of God and a massive harvest. If you want to get in on the Kairos, I invite you to stand. If you don't, sit. I mean, this is no pressure. If you don't want to, just sit. But if you want to, just stand. And then I'm going to ask you to do something else as just a sign. I know, you know, there's chairs in front of us and stuff, but just to take one step forward. Just to take a one step forward, it might just be 6 inches. But by that step, you're just saying, Lord, I want to get in on everything you have for me and what you're doing in the nations in these last days. So I take that step forward as an act of obedience, saying, God, yes, I'm taking the step to follow after you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you see this room full of missionaries, this room full of people that are willing to go wherever you want them to go, that will be missionaries in Huron and South Dakota and around America and around the world. And Lord, I bless James River Church as a missionary sending church. Thank you, Lord, that you are raising up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers out of this congregation. But I also want to just say one more thing. I know that there's somebody watching either on live stream or maybe you're here in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus. This is your Kairos moment, because you won't always have this opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to just say yes to him. You might not have it ever again. If you've never given your life to Christ, I want to encourage you right now to simply say Jesus. Jesus. Go ahead, just say Jesus. It's all right. Jesus, I believe in you, and I want to respond right now. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe you rose from the dead. I give you my life. Forgive my sins, past, present, and future. I need you in my life. I need you to be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live victoriously for you. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, then you have an opportunity. God's saying, share that with someone else. Just say, hey, I just gave my life to Jesus Christ. If you're watching online, send a message on Facebook or however this goes out around the world and just let someone know that you've given your life to Jesus. Amen. You've got an amazing adventure he has for you today. Praise the Lord. We bless you guys, Autumn and Jeff. God bless you. Thank you so much, you guys. Yes.
Praise God. I want to share something real quick as we're closing out here. You can find this actually on my website, unlockingyourdreams.org. I have a tab that's called Awaken South Dakota. And a number of years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I endeavored to write out the prophetic history of our state, like collecting like prophetic words. And we kind of put them before lots of people and just kind of try to judge before the Lord, what are some things that we need to make sure we don't forget? And so most of these aren't even mine. And then I put them on the website so that forever we could pray them, okay? So I had this word from a friend named Valerie Link, who's in from Rapid City. It's called the Great Unthawing. She had a dream, and I just feel like I was supposed to share this. This is her experience maybe 6-7 years ago. Last night I had a dream in which I saw a freezer that was encrusted with thick sheets of ice, so thick that there was little room for anything to fit in the freezer. People were using ice picks in an attempt to remove the ice, but it wouldn't budge. Suddenly, the freezer warmed up and the ice began to break away. I walked up and started removing great sheets of ice, and I heard God say, "Hurry, remove the ice while the work is easy. I have given you a season of grace in which it will be easy for my people to receive breakthrough. I'm melting hearts, but you must each do your own part in this season." I just was reminded of that word. I hadn't thought about it for years. I felt like we are in a season of a great warming of human hearts. And I just encourage you, don't be a doer of the word. Don't just be a hearer. Like, we got an amazing challenge today. It's tragic for you to walk away and not put anything into action. It actually hardens your heart. It's so devastating to your spirit to be challenged by the Holy Spirit and then to do nothing. That's devastating to your relationship with the Lord. It actually really, no matter how much you love Jesus in this place, you will become harder after this day if you don't put it into practice. It's just the way of the kingdom. We hear it and then we do it. We press into it. Do we do it perfect? No, we're so broken. Oh, that just didn't even come out very well. I tried to talk to that person at Walmart. It didn't go like Dan said at all. They were just like, it doesn't matter. Give him something to work with. Just throw something out there. Jesus knows how to work with you. He's only worked with broken people. And you don't have to be an evangelist. I mean, like by gifting for God to use you to bring people to the Lord and share gospel. So Lord, I bless GRC. I bless us to be not just hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word, to take the word this morning, to put it into practice, to let it become cellular, where it's something we live, we eat, we breathe, we do. And Lord, let it change us and transform us more into your image. Lord, we just say, God, reach this city through us and the other believers in this city, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, we love you guys. Taco feed. I hope nobody leaves. I hope everybody stays. In about 15 minutes, 9 o'clock service is going to start pouring in too, and we're going to eat tacos. And